Welcome to the annual meeting for Fox Corporation. Our host for today's call is Gabrielle Brown, Chief Investor Relations Officer. I will now turn the call over to your host. Gabrielle Brown, you may begin.
Thank you, Operator. The following presentation may include certain forward-looking information. Actual results could differ materially from what is said due to risks and uncertainties. For more details, please refer to Fox Corporation's SEC filings, which identify risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ, and which contain certain cautionary statements about forward-looking information. Additionally, this presentation may include certain non-GAAP financial measures. Reconciliations of non-GAAP financial measures are included in our SEC filings, which are available on the Investor Relations section of our website. Please note that we do not authorize any audio or video recording of this meeting. I will now introduce Mr. Lachlan Murdoch, Executive Chair and CEO of Fox Corporation.
Good morning. On behalf of the Fox Board of Directors and my colleagues, it is my pleasure to welcome you to our 2025 annual meeting of stockholders. Joining us this morning are directors, Mr. Chase Carey, Lead Independent Director, Speaker Paul Ryan, Chair of the Nominating and Corporate Governance Committee, Mr. William Burke, Chair of the Compensation Committee, Mr. Roland Hernandez, Chair of the Audit Committee, Ms. Peggy Johnson, and Prime Minister Tony Abbott. Also joining us today are John Nallen, our President and Chief Operating Officer, Steve Tomczyk, our Chief Financial Officer, Adam Cingoli, our Chief Legal and Policy Officer, and Gabrielle Brown, our Chief Investment Relations Officer. And from Ernst & Young, the company's independent registered public accounting firm, Mr. Ian Edelson. Before we commence the formal business of today's meeting, let me begin with some brief comments regarding fiscal 2025, as well as some highlights from the start of our fiscal 2026, where we have already had a very productive first quarter. Fiscal 2025 was a record-breaking year for Fox, setting new benchmarks in both financial performance and viewership. Our results underscore the success of our unique strategy and highlight the enduring power of live. Fox News extended its leadership position, ending fiscal 2025 with over 60% of cable news audience share, and finishing the year as the second most watched network in all of television in weekday prime. On the broadcast side, Fox was the number one network in the key adults 18 to 49 demo for the 2024 to 2025 season, making it the only network to grow year over year across all key demographics. The highlight was undoubtedly Fox airing of the Super Bowl, which set new records for both viewership and advertising while becoming the most watched telecast in U.S. history. Our local stations, many of which are located in battleground political markets, produce over 1,350 hours of local news programming each week, earning the distinction as the number one local news source in the 18 markets we serve, according to ComScore. And Tubi also had a remarkable year, notching multiple achievements in fiscal 2025, including delivering the most streamed Super Bowl in history, exceeding 100 million monthly active users, generating over $1.1 billion in revenue, and reaching an all-time high of 2.2% share of total U.S. television viewing. Across our portfolio, fiscal 2025 was an outstanding year for Fox, demonstrating strength operationally and delivering our best financial year yet, with a record $16 billion of revenue, as well as record adjusted EBITDA and adjusted earnings per share, and a record $3 billion of free cash flow, supporting the return of approximately $1.3 billion of capital to shareholders. This financial and operational strength has continued at Fox. Fiscal 2026 started strong across our businesses, with revenue growth of 5% and adjusted EBITDA growth of 2%, driven by the combination of a very healthy advertising market and strong engagement across our portfolio. Fueled by a busy news cycle, Fox News ranked as the most watched network across all television in weekday prime for the first 9 months of calendar year 2025. Fox Sports has made a great start to the fall season, with the NFL averaging almost 22 million viewers in September. The popularity of college football continues to reach new heights, as Fox's Big Noon Saturday window averaged over 6 million viewers in September. Major League Baseball also delivered an epic postseason. Fox aired an incredible 7-game World Series that captivated millions of fans and showcased the power of live events to unite communities around exciting, iconic moments. Whether fans were watching on their local Fox stations or on our recently launched Fox One app, viewing peaked during a thrilling Game 7 at over 31 million viewers, marking an 8-year high. We look forward to a strong second half of the football season with a strong lineup of both college football and NFL games still to come, highlighted by Thanksgiving week featuring the Lions-Packers NFL clash and the Michigan-Ohio State rivalry game. And next summer, Fox will broadcast the biggest sporting event of 2026, the FIFA World Cup, hosted right here in North America for the first time in over 30 years. Fox's remarkable fiscal 2025 results and strong start to fiscal 2026 give me great confidence in the positive outlook for Fox. Underscoring this confidence, last month we announced a $1.5 billion accelerated share repurchase transaction, which will be completed in the second half of our fiscal year, taking the total amount of capital return to Fox shareholders to over $10 billion since the establishment of Fox Corporation. The strength of our market-leading brands and our unique mix of assets continue to be the catalysts driving the business forward, while also emphasizing our strong and differentiated position relative to our peers. We remain committed to delivering the best quality content to our viewers and creating value for our shareholders in a thoughtful and disciplined manner. And now, onto the formal business of this meeting. In accordance with the company's bylaws, I hereby appoint Mr. Jim Wraith from American Election Services, LLC, as the independent inspector of election for this annual meeting. This meeting is held pursuant to a notice of annual meeting of stockholders mailed on or about September 25th, 2025, to each record holder of a share of common stock on September 22nd, 2025. The agenda and rules and procedures for conduct are accessible on a meeting portal and outline how we will proceed with today's meeting. As stated in the rules and procedures, if you would like to submit a question, you may do so by following the instructions on the meeting portal. As noted in our proxy statement and the rules for the meeting, each holder is limited to 2 questions in total, and questions will generally be addressed in the order they are received. The Inspector of Election has examined the proxies received and reports that holders a majority in voting power of all of the outstanding shares of Class B common stock entitled to vote at the meeting are present in person or represented by proxy. Therefore, I hereby declare a quorum present at the meeting. On behalf of our Board of Directors, I would like to express my appreciation to all stockholders who returned their proxies. We open the polls through the meeting portal at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Only Class B common stockholders of record as of the record date or their valid proxy holders are eligible to vote during this meeting. If you voted or returned a proxy card before the meeting, it is not necessary to vote again. If you wish to cast your vote now or wish to change or revoke a previous vote, You may do so by clicking the Vote Here button on the meeting portal. We have six items on today's agenda. The first matter to be acted upon by the stockholders is Proposal 1, the election of directors. The board has nominated Prime Minister Abbott, Bill Burke, Chase Carey, Roland Hernandez, Peggy Johnson, Speaker Ryan, and me to serve as directors. If elected, each of these director nominees will serve a one-year term expiring at the 2026 annual meeting or until his or her successor is duly elected and qualified. Proposal 2 is for the ratification of the selection of Ernst & Young LLP as the company's independent registered public accounting firm for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2026. Proposal 3 is for an advisory vote to approve executive compensation. Proposal 4 is for an advisory vote to approve the frequency of future advisory votes to approve executive compensation. We also have two stockholder proposals to be voted on at the meeting. I will now ask each of the proponents to present their proposals. First, I will call on Mr. Jing Zhao to present his proposal to improve the executive compensation program. Would the operator please unmute Mr. Zhao's line so he may present the proposal?
Good morning, fellow shareholders. My name is Jing Zhao, and I have had the same proposal voted at many shareholder meetings for more than 10 years. Since I also have presented the same proposal to Berkshire Hathaway in Omaha in May this year, it is worth to cite their CEO's remarks 2 days ago. Anyway, I agreed to work hand in hand, and what consultant ever recommended a serious cut in CEO compensation or board payments? Here, Mr. Buffett, who has been paid $100,000 for decades, also pointed out the growing trend of CEO increasing their own pay rather than improving corporate governance, leading to a never-ending circle of pay hikes. However, my proposal concern is not about the personal greed, but the social disorder. Adam Smith said, "Wealth, as Mr. Hobbes says, is power." As a social contract, the American public gives the corporate board the power and the trust to run the corporate business without employee representation in the board, and the board is not democratically elected. To increase the executive compensation irrationally is to abuse the power and the trust. Recently, shareholders in JPMorgan Chase, Intel, Netflix, Salesforce, and other big companies rejected the sky-high executive pay packages. Our company's executive compensation methodology is fundamentally flawed, and I have the unique background, the knowledge, and the experience to submit this proposal. I was a trained PhD expert in social research methodology since more than 30 years ago, actually in Japan. If you read the shareholder meeting notice from Japanese companies or any other companies outside of the U.S., there's no need to mention CEO compensation. Thank you very much. Please vote for proposal number 5.
Thank you very much, Mr. Zhao. I appreciate your obvious passion on this subject. The board has carefully considered this proposal and unanimously believes this proposal is not in the best interest of stockholders for the reasons set forth in our proxy statement. We will now call on Mr. Chevedden to present his proposal to approve simple majority vote. Operator, would you open the line for Mr. Chevedden to present his proposal?
Hello, this is John Chevedden. Proposal 6, simple majority vote. Shareholders request that the board of directors take each step necessary so that each voting requirement in the charter and bylaws that calls for a greater than simple majority vote be replaced by a requirement for a majority of the shares of the votes cast for and against proposals or a simple majority. Shareholders are willing to pay a premium for shares of companies that have excellent corporate governance. Super majority voting requirements have been found to be one of six entrenching mechanisms that are negatively related to company performance according to What Matters in Corporate Governance by Lucian Bebchuk of the Harvard Law School. This proposal brings forth a debate on whether it should apply to Fox because insiders control 36% of the voting power of Fox. Perhaps long-term Fox shareholders have forgotten that insiders control 36% of Fox voting power. It raises the question of whether a corporate ownership structure with 36% insider control is the most efficient way to manage a company and deal with the challenges facing Fox, such as declining viewership for Fox News, which has seen significant drops in both total viewers and its key demographic. Fox is also facing pressure from evolving media consumption trends and changing viewer habits. The Fox viewership drop is not unique to Fox News. MSNBC and CNN have also seen substantial decreases, and the overall cable news market has become smaller. This proposal raises issues for Fox shareholders to consider. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chevedden. The board has also carefully considered this proposal and unanimously believes this proposal is not in the best interest of stockholders for the reasons set forth in our proxy statement. At this time, the window to submit questions on the proposals has closed, and we will address questions from stockholders or their proxy holders or qualified representatives on the foregoing proposals only. A general Q&A session will follow later in the meeting. I will now ask our Chief Investment Relations Officer, Ms. Gabrielle Brown, to state any questions received on the proposals.
There are no questions on the proposals.
Thank you, Gabby. We will now pause to permit any stockholders who wish to cast their votes to do so. As a reminder, if you have properly submitted your proxy card or voted by telephone or internet prior to this meeting, your vote has been received by the Inspector of Elections, and no further action is needed at this time. We will pause briefly to allow stockholders to submit their votes. All right. It is now 10:17 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on November 14th, 2025. The polls are now closed. A preliminary report of the Inspector of Election reflects that a majority of the eligible votes cast have been voted for the election of each of the directors, for the ratification of the selection of Ernst & Young, for the approval of executive compensation, for 1 year as the frequency of advisory votes to approve executive compensation, against the stockholder proposal to improve executive compensation, and against the stockholder proposal to approve simple majority vote. The final vote totals will not be known until the Inspector of Elections certifies the tabulation after the meeting. We will then report the final results of this meeting in an SEC filing. On behalf of the company and the Board of Directors, thank you for your continued support. The formal portion of this meeting is now adjourned. We will now address questions relating to the business and operations of the company in accordance with the rules and procedures for conduct, which are available on the meeting portal. Holders of common stock or their proxy holders or qualified representatives were invited to submit questions in advance of this meeting and may also submit questions during this meeting through the meeting portal. As a reminder, in accordance with the rules and procedures, holders are limited to two questions, and we will generally address those questions in the order received. Answers to any questions that are not able to be addressed during the annual meeting will be published following the meeting in the Investor Relations section of the company's website at foxcorporation.com. We will attempt to group substantially similar questions together and answer them at one time. Gabby, would you please state the first question?
Yes. Mr. Chairman, our first question is democracy good for business?
Is democracy good for business? That's an interesting question, but I think the answer is profoundly yes. But I might, interesting to think about, if you step through it, the democracy requires free speech. Democracy does not cannot exist without free speech. And, you know, our mission, our kind of foundational principle, certainly on the news side and information side of our business, is exactly the expression of free speech and a contest of open contest of ideas. And so I think you could say that it's actually democracy, or it's actually our business, if you will, is good for democracy, not the other way around. So in a short answer, yes. Thank you, Gabby.
Mr. Chairman, our next question. You reported record full-year fiscal 2025 results. At the same time, the media landscape is undergoing structural changes. Could you walk investors through which growth drivers you expect to carry forward into fiscal 2026 and beyond, and how you think about investments versus balance sheet strength?
We have a... Obviously, this is an annual meeting for last year's results and the business of the company. But our first quarter, 2026, has been, you know, which we reported only a few weeks ago, has been remarkably strong. And we have sustained the trajectory of the growth drivers of our business into this new fiscal year. Those drivers are in a very strong, I think I mentioned this in my remarks, a very strong advertising market for us. And when I say for us, it's really because the key verticals we are in, live news and live sports, and now streaming, advertising support is streaming with Tubi. The advertising market and revenue flowing into those businesses, I think, you know, we really haven't seen before. It's a very strong market, and there's no signs of that abating at this stage as I talk to you today. So we're confident in the business. We're confident in the key drivers of the business going forward into the new year and frankly, beyond. We reported in the first quarter that Tubi reached its first quarter of profitability earlier than expected, and so our investment in new media and streaming is also really starting to show a good return. In terms of the balance sheet, I think we have an enviable balance sheet amongst our peers. Our balance sheet gives us the ability to continue to invest organically in our growth businesses, while at the same time we can preserve flexibility to thoughtfully invest in new businesses while maintaining our share buybacks. And that's, I think, highlighted and reinforced by our recent announcement of the $1.5 billion accelerated share repurchase transaction. So we think our balance sheets are we're very proud of our balance sheet, and we're, you know, very focused on using it, but using it thoughtfully and carefully.
Mr. Chairman, our next question is, when are you moving your headquarters out of New York City and into an area that is safe and affordable?
That's an interesting question as well. I can't see any scenario where we don't have a large and significant presence in New York City. It's an incredible city. For us and in our sort of core businesses, it is, you know, the center of the news universe. Certainly in this country. Obviously, we have bureaus in Washington D.C., in Los Angeles, you know, across our local television stations. But New York really is going to be the center of news gathering for us. You know, for certainly I believe a long time to come. It's also the center of the advertising industry. Which is, you know, a very significant portion of our revenue, and we need to keep a very strong presence there, you know, to work with our advertising partners and clients. So with that in mind, a few years ago, we signed a 20-year lease renewal for our headquarters in New York, and so we'll be there for certainly the foreseeable future.
Mr. Chairman, our next question is, board committee chairs receive additional retainers. What benchmarks are used to evaluate whether those payments remain relevant and appropriate?
On board committee retainers, this might be a question for our lead independent, Chase Carey.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We review board compensation as a regular practice every year. We performed that review in consultation with our compensation consultant, which also takes into account review of both peers and broader industry practices in board comp. As part of that, we do provide compensation to committee members and committee leadership because we recognize the time and the expertise that goes into that. And we feel quite strongly that the compensation structure we have overall for the board is both fair and appropriate.
Thank you, Chase.
Mr. Chairman, the next question. Based on the ISS recommendation for a vote against the four members of the Compensation Committee, did that impact the votes they received?
As I mentioned in my earlier comments, the results of the voting for this meeting will be filed in an 8K after the meeting.
Mr. Chairman, regarding the case by Smartmatic against Fox Corporation, will Fox be successful in eliminating the possibility of a jury trial?
We recently filed for a stay in that case in light of Smartmatic's indictment and criminal trial next year. As we have said, this is not Dominion. Smartmatic is not Dominion, and we look forward to defending ourselves in court when the case proceeds to trial.
Mr. Chairman, the next question is addressed to Mr. Abbott. What can you contribute to Fox, an American business, from your Australia experience?
Thank you. I'll take that question, Gabby. Mr. Abbott, or Prime Minister Abbott, brings to the board decades of executive leadership, expertise in matters of trade, economic, and public policy, and a strong international business development network. He's a tremendous director, and we are very very happy, but you know, lucky to have him on our board.
Great. Thank you. At this time, there are no further questions. The Q&A portion of our meeting is now concluded. Thank you all very much for attending our annual meeting, and have a great day.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Gabby.
The meeting has now concluded. Thank you for joining, and have a pleasant day.